I'd love for you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Confess to you that a few weeks ago I wasn't too excited about preaching this sermon. In fact, I kind of had a bad attitude about it. We had assignments that we were given every once in a while, and we were doing the series on the Christian marriage, which was going to be last week, and Mike Stokey somehow got out of that one, and we'll talk about that later. And then the Christian family was supposed to be this week, and I'm thinking, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, we need one more sermon about the Christian family, or worse, Ephesians 6. I'm like, and every student in here, every kid is going to groan as soon as we read this passage. And then something happened this past Sunday, a week ago today, that really changed my whole perspective and has got me really excited about preaching tonight. I was walking out of a soccer meeting with a couple of high school guys, and I happened to be walking with one student who is Jewish. And this guy just said, hey, what are you doing this afternoon? And he said, well, I'm heading right now. I'm heading over to Sunday school. And I kind of looked at him, you know, kind of like, what are you talking about? And he said, oh, I didn't say anything. I just kind of looked at him confused. He said, yeah, we used to have our Sunday school in the morning, but now it's been moved to the night. And I'm still looking at him, and he doesn't understand that. And I figure he needs some help in understanding my confusion. I just said to him, I didn't know Jewish people had Sunday school at all. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. The Saturday is the Sabbath day for us, Todd. But, you know, we have this kind of youth group thing that we used to do on Sunday mornings, and now we do it on Sunday nights. And so I said goodbye, and I walked to the car. And as I walked to the car, I had this one thought going through my head. I mean, other than the fact that I knew he was Jewish, he doesn't sound any different than any high school kid that would come from Second Press. I mean, he sounded exactly the same. And that actually led to a conversation a couple hours later with the sophomore guys in my small group. I just asked them. I asked them about, you know, it said theoretically as Christians we're supposed to stand out. I mean, if we just follow what the Bible says, we would stand out. I mean, we would look different. I said, so do Christians at your school stand out? And I mean, who stands out? Interesting enough, they said this. I said, well, Todd, pretty much the only students that stand out at our high schools are the serious Muslims. And nobody else really stands out. And as I thought about that, and as I thought about this sermon, and even was thinking about it like crazy again this morning when Sandy was preaching from 1 Timothy chapter 6, just that whole idea that as Christians, just by our everyday life, we would look different. You remember the opening line of the passage this morning from 1 Timothy chapter 6 was, but you, man of God, talking to Timothy, okay, here's this other behavior that was in the verses preceding it. And then in this moment, as Paul instructs Timothy, he says, but you, man of God, but you, Timothy, being a man of God, you're going to act this way. It's going to look different. And so that has been rolling in my mind all this week, really looking, okay, as Christian families, we ought to look different just by going about being a family. Just in the way that we do it. And what are we going to learn from this passage that's going to show us those things? And where are we doing well? And where are we needing correction and some direction in this? And it all kind of begins, before we read Ephesians 6, it all really begins with Ephesians 5, verse 21, which is the verse that sets up everything else Paul says after that in regard to relationships between husbands and wives and children and their parents and through servants and their masters. Ephesians 5, 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then after that, he goes on to say, now this is the way that looks in these relationships. This isn't about simply rules and we got to create some order and we got to create some structure. This is about a relationship with the Lord Jesus and how it affects our relationship with other people. And it's about our everyday living, and we're just going to look different than the rest of the world. In fact, I came across a quote, which I'm not usually the big quote guy, but my favorite pastor slash theologian, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, said this in regards to this specific passage that we're going to read, these four verses in Ephesians 6. He says, I believe that Christian parents and children, Christian families, have a unique opportunity of witnessing to the world at this present time by just being different. And I believe that's true. Why don't we go to the Lord before we read this passage and ask that He would open up our minds and our hearts to receive what He's going to say to us, regardless of where we are in this whole parent, kid, family thing that God is going to teach all of us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank You and praise You for the opportunity to look at Your Word. We thank You that it is truth, that we can count on it, we can rest our lives on it. We thank You that You have spoken it to us, that we might know these things. Now, Father, by the presence of Your Holy Spirit, help us to receive it. Help us to understand what You're saying to us. And Father, as Rocky said, help us to respond to it. We pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Two phrases that I want to be the two points that we hinge everything on tonight. And the first phrase is the phrase, in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In case you haven't noticed this as you've read through the Bible, especially in the New Testament, obedience to parents is a really big deal to God. A really big deal. In fact, if you were to look over in Romans chapter 1, in that beginning at verse 18, where it talks about the wrath of God being revealed against all the ungodliness of mankind, and then in verse 28, it begins to list this ungodliness, and it talks about people who are lustful, who create ways of doing evil, who are boastful, who are proud, people who are sexually immoral. And in the midst of this list, it has two things that are very disturbing for us people in East Memphis. First of all, it has the word gossips in there. They're gossips. And you're like, whoa, that's a little close. What are you doing there? And then it says disobedient to parents. In the midst of this list of they create ways of doing evil, it says disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3 has the same kind of list, talking about the ungodliness that will be in the last days. And it talks about these horrific things. And in these horrific things, it says they'll disobey their parents. Now, I honestly can't see sometimes the big picture of why that's such a big deal. We could spend some time looking at that. I'm just telling you, it's a big deal. It's obviously a big deal that we would obey and honor our parents. And those two words are the words that come out there in that passage, obey and honor. Obey really means to be under their authority, to respond to their authority, to see yourself that way. And you know, you say, well, how long am I under the authority of my parents? You know, some people say 18, some people say 21. I figure somewhere between 18 and 21. I figure that if they're students, kids, if you're relying on your parents for your like everyday living, you know, financially, then I feel like you need to obey them. I figure you're still a kid. You're independent as far as your financial situation and, you know, beyond the age 18, 21, then you're probably moving to that adult and things shift a little bit. But before that time, the call of God on our lives is to obey our parents, to respond to the authority, to place ourselves under the authority. And then there's that word honor, which really means respect and reverence. To have respect and reverence for our parents. And that plays out for all of us. I told Rocky earlier this week that there was a sermon he preached, I think 3 or 4 years ago, on the commandment to honor your mother and father. And he spoke about what do we do as adults, you know, when you know we're out of the home, we've been out of the home for years. What do you do with our parents then? How do we honor our parents? And Rocky used the word treasure, that you would treasure your parents, that you would still figure out a way that respect and reverence could occur, that you were doing that. And so God is calling us as children to obey and honor our parents, to show respect and reverence. And there's good reasons in these verses to obey. Paul says, you know, obey to your parents in the Lord, for it is right. And theologians would say that it is right basically kind of refers to kind of the natural order of things. It makes sense. And even the culture at that time would have said, yeah, that's what kids are supposed to do. Kids are supposed to obey their parents. That makes sense. Even the pagan culture, the Roman culture and Greek culture around would say, that's, yes, they're supposed to obey. So it's just something that kind of fits the natural law. And not only that, he goes on to say, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of the promise. We could take a whole sermon unpacking that whole thing. But the idea here is not so much that if you obey your parents, that you are going to be blessed financially and you are going to live a really, really long life. That may or may not happen to you. But what it probably does mean, and what Paul's referring to, is that a community, a culture, a nation that would have children who obey their parents, who honor their fathers and mothers, that culture, that community is going to experience a blessing. And so there's a kind of an ethical, cultural reason that it'd be fitting for us to obey and honor our parents. But you know what? The world does those two things. Families that are not Christian families have those things in them. We all know families that are not Christian families that you might even see this obedience acted out even more. Some of you students might say, well, yeah, I know people who are not Christians, kids who are not Christians, who do a much better job obeying their parents and honoring their parents than I do. And I'm sure most of you parents probably have picked out exactly the people who you think obey and honor better than your kids do. We can look at that and say, well, the world does that, so what's the difference? The difference is that phrase, in the Lord. In the Lord, that's the difference. And this phrase connects, it's important for us to realize, this phrase connects with the word obey, not with the word parents. So really, you could say, obey in the Lord your parents. And this phrase, in the Lord, is really the same phrase that's used earlier. Look at verse 21, the thing that kind of sets everything up. Submit to one another, excuse me, chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So that's that in the Lord. That's the same idea. Submit to one another in the Lord, out of reverence for Christ. And then look at verse 22. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. That's in the Lord. Look at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ has loved the church and gave himself up for her. Husbands, love your wives in the Lord, in the same way that you've seen this happen. And then even in the verses following what we've read tonight, verse 5 of chapter 6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ, as unto the Lord. So there is here this supreme reason that exists in a Christian home that doesn't exist anywhere else. And it's awesome. All of you who are kids in here, students who are under the ages of 21 and still relying on your parents for your financial life or your existence, you have this amazing opportunity to stand out and be different. The supreme reason to obey and to honor, the supreme reason being that it's as unto the Lord. And that's the difference. That's what would look different than a Muslim family or a Jewish family or an unbelieving family. And if we just went about doing that, we'd see something different. How is a Christian child different from everybody else? He seeks to obey and honor like he was doing it to God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a group of junior high or high school students or elementary students who were intentionally working into their lives in an obedience and an honor to their parents, not because their parents are going to punish them, not because they're hoping to make sure they get good stuff, but that they were really looking and saying, I want to do this like I submit to the Lord, as unto the Lord. Man, that would look different. Very different from any old student. Well, you're getting it now, aren't you? And we shift gears now, look at parents. And the phrase that I really think that we want to focus on or hang our hats on tonight when in regard to parents is the phrase of the Lord. So it says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. And it really means fathers and mothers there. You can see that because in the preceding verse, it says parents, and it talks about honoring your father and mother. So the word fathers there really is an inclusive word that includes mothers. So fathers and mothers, don't exasperate your children. Instead, bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And I would say that the parents in this room, especially the parents in this room, I mean, goodness gracious, if you come to evening church, you're supposed to get like extra points and stuff, you know, unless, of course, you skip morning church and are feeling guilty. But, you know, we'll deal with that later. But you're here tonight. And I would say, having known a lot of you for the last 9 years, we do a pretty good job. There's some good things we're doing as families, as parents. And I feel like you're teaching your kids to be kind and polite. And there's evidences of that. And you're teaching your kids to serve others and to care about others. And I can see clear evidences of that. You're teaching your kids to value the education they're getting and to try to strive to be the very best person they can possibly be. And you're teaching your kids to be, you know, churchgoers, to be good Christian people. But you know what? The world does that too. I run into families all the time who do a lot better job at the things I just mentioned than I do with my kids. Teaching them to be polite and teaching them to kindness and service and valuing their education, striving for excellence and maybe even being religious. So what's the difference? The difference is all of this is supposed to be done of the Lord. It's done in a completely different context. And the difference is this. The difference is that as parents, what we're supposed to do as a Christian family is that we look at our kids and say, they belong to God and He has a priority for their lives that completely trumps any priority we would ever have for their lives. God has a priority for the kids He's put in our homes because those kids belong to Him. And that priority trumps everything that we would ever have for them. So a Christian parent is different because they know that the child doesn't belong to them. And a Christian parent is different because they're raising their child to serve Christ, listen to this, at all costs. A Christian parent knows that the child belongs to God, and a Christian parent knows that they're supposed to raise their child to serve Christ at all costs. And I would say this is where we struggle. I was talking to somebody, a mom, just, I think it was Friday night. We were talking about mission trips, and she was being really honest and open. It was great. And she was saying how, yeah, she can't imagine. Her daughter really wants to go sometime to a trip, to a mission trip to Africa. And she was asking me about going to Africa. And she said, I just cannot imagine. I just don't want to do that. And then she said, you know, my daughter, I know she wants to do missions. Some part of her life, she's going to do missions. She might end up on the mission field. I mean, that's just, I know that's kind of how she is. I was out walking the other day talking to the Lord, and I was getting so angry at Him. Because I was saying, God, if my daughter goes and does missions and dies somewhere, I'm going to be really ticked off. And she's smiling through all that because she realizes the daughter's not hers. She doesn't get to call the shots on that one. And it wouldn't be right for her to do that. You know, I've been real convicted about this in my own life. And I think what happens is when you don't have kids and you're thinking about being married, you're really idealistic about how this will happen. You've got some great plans. And they're good plans. Don't bail on those plans. Keep them. And then when you get married but you don't have kids, those plans are starting to kind of formulate. You can look at other parents and you're like, yeah, I will not do it like them. You know, they have obviously no idea how to really raise kids, and they've compromised everywhere. And then you get young kids, and now you have kids, and you try it out, and it's kind of working. You know, it kind of feel like things are going okay. You know, and then they turn 13, and it just all goes out the window. Everything, and I'm not sure it's the kids' fault half the time. Sometimes I just think it's, you know, us as parents are just like, okay, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't know how to operate here. And I would say that in a lot of ways, I became very distracted as a parent, and I abandoned things that I knew were right and embraced other things that were just of lesser value. I remember one of my heart's desires when my kids were little was that they would grow up to be world Christians. That they would grow up knowing about what God was doing in different parts of the world. That we would talk about it at the dinner table. That it would be part of their education. And that's what I wanted to do. And I remember feeling like things were kind of going okay when one night, I think Ben was like 7 years old, and he was really like obsessed with this Lego pirate ship. And he played with it all the time, this Lego pirate ship. And I asked him one night, we were talking about different things, and I think we might have been talking about missions and praying for a missionary. And I asked him, I said, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he said, I'm going to be a pirate missionary. I don't know exactly how you do that, but I didn't say that. I just said, oh, that's awesome. That'd be great. Well, you know, and I'll figure out how that works. Pirate missionary. I left his room excited about bringing up my kids in the training and instruction of the Lord to have that kind of a vision for their lives. And I got distracted. And after the mission conference a couple weeks ago, Monday morning at breakfast, I had to sit down with my kids and say, hey, Mom and I have lost track of this, and it's important to us. It's important to the Lord. It's the right thing. And we haven't placed a priority on it, and we're sorry. And we're going to start doing that again. Here's the best part of this little story. I haven't done anything with that for 3 weeks. And as I got ready to prepare this sermon, I realized tomorrow morning I'm going to have to, at breakfast, say, hey, guys, I'm going to need your help. This has got to be our priority as a family. Because it's more important than a lot of other things. Let me just take a moment. Let me just take a little Lexus moment right now for you, if you'll let me. For those of you who were here last Sunday morning, you know what this means. I'm going to meddle. There are certain things that we are placing as priorities above serving Christ in our kids' lives. And I'll tell you what they are. We in this congregation struggle to place education, our kids' education, above their service to Christ. That is a huge temptation to us. We put worldly accomplishment of our kids as a higher priority than their service to Christ. We place their financial well-being and their financial preparedness when they graduate from college as a higher priority in our training of them than we do their service to Christ. We sadly place their social acceptance in high school and college as a higher priority than their service to Christ and His kingdom. And we place their physical safety as a much higher priority than their following and serving Jesus. And when we do that, we don't look any different than any other family. And what we've done is we've taken the of the Lord part and we've gotten rid of it. All of those should be pale in comparison to knowing and serving God. That's why God has placed these children in your homes. So that you would teach them above all else, sacrificing all else, that they might know Christ and love Christ and take their place in Christ's kingdom anywhere in the world. Because they belong to Him. Stumbled across another quote which really convicted me personally. theologian whom I'm sure hardly anybody in here knows, because I didn't know him. Said, parents should care more for the loyalty of their children to Christ than for anything besides. More than for their health, their intellectual vigor and brilliance, their material prosperity, their social position, and their exemption from great sorrows and great misfortunes. And the first time I read that, I teared up. Because I know it's right. And I know that that's what a Christian family is. You know, when the goal of what we want to do with our kids is off, and that's what I'm suggesting tonight, the goal of what you want to do with your kids is off. When our goal, what we want to do with our kids is off, it's on something other than serving Christ and His kingdom, then everything we do on the way is going to be off. We're not going to make good choices. We're not going to make good decisions about time and schedule and all of that. It'll get all warped and whacked because our goal is off. The end game is off. So we're going to quickly get off track when we do that. But when the goal is on target, when you can go, this is what I want, then you begin to go, oh, okay, that's what we want to do with our time. That's what we want to do with our resources. That's where I want to place education and athletics and music and social position and college and all. I can place that in a right order. It can fit in the right places. And I can know how to do that in a way that teaches my son or daughter the right thing. And then, again, we could have spent a whole sermon just talking about this whole concept of not exasperating your children, but instead bringing it up in the nourishment of the Lord. But parenting must model that grace, and if you don't have the right goal, you're never gonna model it with grace. You're always gonna be harsh or lenient. If the goal isn't that they would be like Jesus, then in your parenting, you're gonna really struggle. You're either going to be way too harsh or way too lenient. Let me give you one example of this whole of the Lord thing. And it comes right out of this. And then we'll wrap things up. Look at verse 1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I never realized this until this week. It doesn't say, parents, tell your children to obey you in the Lord. It says, children... This would have been read in the church service. Paul addresses the children because he assumes they would be in the worship service. How cool is that? That's just one example of what it means to bring our kids up with this ultimate goal that they would be in the Lord and of the Lord. They would be in church. And there was an assumption by the Apostle Paul that that's what would happen. As we close tonight, can you imagine what it would be like if just the kids that are in this room, just the kids age 0 to 18 in this room were to really seek to obey and honor their parents as unto the Lord? What would that do to this city? What would it do to this city if the parents in this room made it their chief priority at all costs that their sons and daughters, at all costs, would know Jesus and have Him first in their lives, and would know that it was the expectation of their parents that they were to take their place serving the Lord somewhere in this world. Maybe it's Memphis and maybe it's China. Maybe it's in a mansion, and maybe it's in a ghetto. But it would be in the kingdom, and that's all that would matter. What would happen to this city if just the people in this room responded to this message? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. It is so rich, and it speaks directly to our hearts. We thank You, Father, for what You have given us in Your word. We thank You for this challenge of what it means to be different just by living out our lives. Help us, Father. We struggle. We want to fit in. And we're sorry. Lord, help us to repent of our compromise and renew our hearts. Give us the grace that we need to start fresh, even tonight. And Father, we do all these things in the name of Christ, in whose name alone we rest and rely upon. For nothing has ever brought us joy or satisfaction or meaning except Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.